Welcome to the Realizing Genius podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Christensen. This is where we dive in each week to chat about parenting, education, and realizing our children's genius. I'm an educator with a background in individualizing learning, and I'm obsessed with helping people find and nurture that genius in their children and themselves. Let's dive in. Hi, geniuses. Today I have Michael Jacobus. And first of all, thank you so much for being here, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. Now, what you do, I feel, is so needed in today's world. And you help people combat the challenges of screen addiction. And I have seen, I mean, all of us, we go to the grocery store and we see even these little tiny kids holding the screens, and then our own kids are like glued to those screens. And I think it's just fairly recently. I mean, I might be off. You're the one that would know this, but it's like people are finally realizing how bad that is. So first of all, I'd love for you to tell us just a little bit about how you got into this. Yeah, it's definitely needed, but why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, I've been a summer camp advocate for 40 years. I went to summer camp as a kid and then grew up going to summer camp and eventually became a camp director. And I've been doing that every summer for, like I said, over 40 years. And I'm also a parent, and I have three grown kids. All of them played video games at one time or another when they were younger, but one of them became addicted. And it was my oldest son. He became addicted to World of Warcraft, and it was a daily argument, white knuckle battle with my wife and him, and trying to get him off games and get him to finish high school. I mean, and there was no such program to send him to. You know, it wasn't so bad that he needed a wilderness therapy kind of program, but he was failing. You know, his behavior was dropping, his grades were dropping. It was just a horrible situation. And that had always been in the back of my head about how to reach a kid like him. Because like I said, I had two other kids that played video games. They didn't become addicted. When we said it's dinner time, they came to dinner. You know, it was just him. So in 2018, when every kid in the world seemed to be addicted to Fortnite, and the World Health Organization declared gaming disorder as a diagnosable thing, I decided to combine my love for summer camp and its transformative capacity with a clinical team and created Reset Summer Camp. And it was originally just for gaming addicted kids. And now it's encompasses all screen addictions, because the majority of the kids who come to our camp are gaming addicted boys, but we do get a good quantity of social media addicted girls. And then we get a smaller quantity of what we call streamers. They're just absorbing content 24/7. But it's YouTube or Netflix or porn or whatever, but it's not specifically a game and it's not specifically social media. So we're coming into our seventh summer right now. We just expanded into Canada. It is an ever-growing problem. I wish I could tell you I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't at the moment, because the big tech companies, you know, just want, you know, the kids' time and money. And, you know, there's no such thing as game over anymore in a video game. When I was a kid, I had to go to an arcade. But when video games came into the home, you would actually finish a video game. You know, you would rescue the princess or finish the race or whatever, and it would say game over, you were done. And you could play it again and try to beat your score or whatever. But today games have no end. Instagram has no bottom. You can scroll nonstop for days and never be done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have some younger boys in my extended family that all they do is watch YouTube. And yeah. I mean, it's kids YouTube, but it's like one thing after another, and it's just never ends.
Yeah. And those platforms have pre-built in, you know, next episode. So Unless you specifically click to not present the next video, you're going to get the next video. And there's no reason to walk away from your computer. It's constantly feeding you content.
Well, why? Why does it have this power? Especially on there's some kids, some adults that it just, it it just grabs them and ruins their lives, really. So yeah. Why does it have this power?
I can't really say why any one becomes addicted versus another. Like I said, I had three kids and only one became addicted. It crosses all, you know, racial and socioeconomic boundaries. It doesn't really, there is no way to test for a technology addiction. And because it's unregulated, basically, and the social media and the gaming companies are pretty much free to do whatever they want. Parental controls are, you know, a nice afterthought, but any tech-savvy 12-year-old can get around a parental control. It's really, really about parent communication with their kids. And, you know, especially the community I work in is teenagers. And, you know, they're not fully developed adults. You know, the human brain doesn't completely develop until you're 25. So we're handing these children, you know, phones or computer screens or whatever it is, and we're not regulating or observing what they're doing. And it becomes a serious problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know I saw on your website, which I will have links in the show notes for this, but you have an online course for parents. What does that help them with? Can that help them?
Yeah, we created an online course just this past December, so a couple months ago. And we created it basically for parents to do what we do at summer camp. Like our summer camp program is 4 weeks long, and it's a digital detox program, but it's only in the summer. And it's not super cheap, and it's only in California and now in Quebec. But if it's too far away, too expensive, doesn't fit your schedule, you know, we created an online course for parents to pretty much do what we do at camp at home. I do also want to speak for a moment about the shame. You know, I get so much parental embarrassment and so much parental shame. You know, we work with a lot of kids who all end up very successful after they leave our program, but we don't get many referrals. And we don't get many referrals because parents don't want to admit that they had this problem in the first place, which is totally fine, which is another reason we created the online course. You can go online, you can take the course. You have to do the work. And the thing I always tell parents is, you know, it's not a fix my kid situation. It's a fix the family dynamic situation. And even if you send your kid to my program, eventually, or any program, they're going to come home. You're going to have to deal with this sooner or later anyway. So we recommend parents change the home dynamic, change their own habits with technology, really adhere to a good sleep schedule for everyone in the family, not just the kid with the problem. So, you know, unless the parents are willing to actually own the change, then we're going to continue to have these issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my audience is mainly homeschool parents and educators. And very often, actually, since COVID, it's been even more prevalent. Homeschooling, especially teens, looks like sitting them in front of a computer, more screen time. Technology is a fact of life. So is there anything we can do to, I mean, obviously do your class, that would be one of the first things I would say, but what are some signs that our teens are that one in three, like you had in your kids, you know, one in three of your kids had an issue. What are some signs that we can look for to see if our kids are really having issues?
Well, that's funny. And anytime a parent asks me, you know, how do I know if my kid has a problem? I usually say just by asking that question, you know, they have a problem. Just the fact that it came to mind. But one of the things we recommend that parents do is remove technology from the bedrooms. And anytime I talk to a group of parents, and I do this all the time, I'll say, what's the one thing we enjoy most at home as parents? And I'll advance my PowerPoint and I have the word quiet on the screen. And we love it when it's quiet. And we tell ourselves they're up there doing their homework. They're up there studying. Isn't it great? And they're not. They have their earphones on. They're playing their video games. They're on social media. They're not studying. So my first recommendation is to remove technology from the bedrooms and put their computer in a family central location, dining room table, kitchen table, so everybody can publicly see what they're doing. And it's not really to shame the kid, but it's to communicate to the kid that, you know, when you're on this computer, you should be doing your schoolwork if you're a homeschool kid or doing your homework. Now, we tell kids, you know, who come to camp, nobody will ever tell you not to play a video game again or not to be on social media again. That's just not the reality of the world we live in. But we try to teach a healthy balance, you know, and we tell them this is learn to get what you want in life camp. And 20 hours a day on social media or YouTube is not going to get you there. So some of the signs that I tell parents to look at is, you know, reclusive behavior. If they're in their rooms, they won't come down for dinner. Sleep is something I talk about at camp every single day. Most kids who are addicted to technology have horrible sleeping and eating schedules. You know, they'll stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning and they're eating Doritos and drinking Gatorade. And then the parents wonder why they're so sleepy or don't want to go to school in the morning, or, you know, they're dragging in the morning. And it's so funny because the depression and anxiety that we see from the campers who arrive at camp seems to disappear after the second week of a detox with good sleep and good nutrition. So it can be affected really, really quick. But I also talk to parents all the time, you know, they say, well, there's going to be a tantrum. And I'm like, yeah. So yeah, there's going to be a tantrum. You're the parent. You need to own being the parent and stop being the pal of your kid. You need to set boundaries and have rules and guidelines. Kids thrive with rules and guidelines. So when they're just allowed to be feral, basically, they'll take advantage of any opportunity. And until the parent steps up, that's not going to get any better.
I totally agree. I know that whole being a friend to your kids, you love them as a parent more than you ever could as a friend. And yeah, I see so many parents of like a 2 or 3 year old who the 2 or 3 year old will have a tantrum and that's just like, here, look at my phone, you know, and to get rid of the tantrum. And so when your 13 year old is doing that as well.
Yeah, parents use technology to soothe their children. You know, anytime I'm at a restaurant and I see a kid in a high chair with a rubber covered iPad, I just think to myself, future camper, because they're not engaging the child. They're not teaching good behavioral attitudes. We do something at camp called healthy boredom, which is a specific time of day when we have nothing scheduled and we're not going to do anything because it's okay to be bored. That's actually where creativity begins. So we have, you know, musical instruments, we have art supplies. They can do a variety of things, but we have no activity scheduled. It's okay. You know, parents are so worried today about filling every moment of their kids' days with some sort of interactive activity, and that's not necessary.
Yeah, yeah. No, I am a big believer in boredom. My kids ever say, well, I'm bored, then it's like, oh, you're offering to do more chores? Awesome.
Right, exactly. Well, this just popped in my head for some reason, like Legos, for example. You know, talking about little kids, there's no such thing as really just a box of Legos anymore. Like when I was a kid, I had a box of Legos and I would create whatever I wanted to create. Now you get the race car or the castle, you know, and you have to follow the directions and you build the thing. And there's no creativity involved in that. It's just following directions. So even from a really young age, with something as simple as Legos, we're killing creativity and pushing conformity. And it's no wonder these kids, you know, are lost.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that because, I mean, what I'm all about is realizing the genius, realizing the individuality of each child. And I mean, back to this screen addiction, it's like we're making all of these kids zombies, and everybody, like for the young girls, they're looking at all of these ads, looking at all of these things on social media about how they have to be like somebody else, who very likely they're not seeing the true person anyway. They have all kinds of filters and, and everything on there too. So yeah. What regulations, if any, do you feel we need on social media or on games? Or, I mean, do we need something like that?
You mean like governmental regulations?
Yeah.
Well, every time I read an article that some government somewhere is, you know, cracking down on social media, I think, well, that's great. That's a great start. But quite honestly, you know, the social media companies and the kids will find ways around it. And anytime I talk to parents, I get asked to speak all the time about the dangers of social media. So I'll talk for 15 or 20 minutes about different platforms and, what they do and why predators find them attractive and things like that. And then I'll get to a point where I'll say, and now you can forget everything I just said. Because while I've been talking, 6 new platforms have been launched, 8 new games have come out, and 3 new apps to hide the social media apps. There's actually a popular calculator app. It looks like a calculator on your phone, but it hides your Instagram access. So I tell parents, anytime you ask your kid to show you their Instagram, if they have to sign into it, it's not their Instagram. They have an Instagram app that they have to sign into that has puppies and rainbows and ice cream and everything to show the parents. And then they probably have a calculator app that hides their real Instagram, which is where they're talking, not every kid, but, some kids. And there's apps for that. So there is really nothing that will replace ongoing, non-judgmental parental communication. And I'm, I even apologize to parents because no parental control is going to do it for you. No government regulation is going to do it for you. It's not a fix my kid problem. It's a fix the family dynamic problem. And we talk a lot of parents, especially in the screening process, about the need to be on the same page. Because we'll have a lot of moms who think there's a serious issue and a lot of dads who think it's no big deal. And I'll say, if one of you thinks it's a serious issue, it's a serious issue.
Yeah. Well, dads now have grown up gaming. It's a way for them to connect with their kids. At least that's how they feel about it.
Yeah, we don't discourage that, but we encourage it to be in a healthy, balanced time. So you can play video games with your kid for an hour. You don't need to play for 6 hours or 10 hours,
Right, right. I can definitely see that. I have 5 boys, and I know one way my oldest son connects with his youngest brother, there's like a 12-year age gap, is by playing games. They do love to play games, but they actually tend to, especially my oldest, he tends to find the games with the stories. He loves the stories that actually can end, and they have all of these different things that they do, but he actively searches those out. But yeah, it's hard. So if we can't count on the government taking care of us, which I personally, I believe that's not their job. I mean, and I don't want them to, but yet if, the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, is there any one like social media platform that might be better than another one?
Not really. I mean, I wish I could say there was. Anytime a parent says, what's a good age to let my kid be on Instagram? I'll say, well, what's a good age for them to be exposed to porn? Because that's what you're asking. That's what they're going to see at some point. Now, not the first day that they sign on and create an account. And supposedly you can't have an account on Instagram if you're under 13. But how many 8-year-olds are on Instagram? Because the kids can work around those parental controls. And a lot of parents will sign in and authorize a too young kid to play a mature video game or to sign into a social media app that they're too young for because it keeps them quiet and it keeps them occupied. And you're their kid's pal when you do that. And parents just don't seem to understand that that is doing more damage than anything else than actually saying no and explaining why you're saying no. And talking to other parents and getting, some camaraderie on saying no. I'll tell parents all the time to create a relationship with the parent of the kid that your kid enjoys playing video games with. And I actually had one mom say to me, well, my kid's best friend online is Chinese and I don't speak Chinese. And I held up my Google app on my phone and I said, I spent a month in China teaching summer camp stuff, and I don't speak Chinese either. But I used the Google app, the Google Translate. It was rough, but I got my message across. And we're not saying, be a roommate with this person. We're just saying, have a communication with this person, because chances are they are as concerned about their kid's screen time as you are. And if you can come to an agreement that, yes, they're going to play this game together, but at 9 p.m., we're going to turn it off, then nobody's missing out on anything.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is that a lot of the solution is communication. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's ongoing. And when I say non-judgmental, you know, any mom that asks their teenage daughter to show her social media account, that's a big step, especially if you haven't communicated ahead of time. So I will tell the mother to, you know, not, you know, if you get your daughter to show you her social media, the very first thing you do not want to do is look and say, oh my God, you posted a picture of yourself wearing that, or some sort of judgmental statement. You just want to know what she's posting. You want to know what she's commenting on. You want to know what people are posting on her, you know, page, and what their comments are. And that's it. And then walk away. And then do it again tomorrow. And then do it again tomorrow. Create a routine where your kids are comfortable and used to sharing with you their online activities. Because you know what? Chances are the parent owns the phone. Chances are the parent pays for the wireless service or the internet service. You know, the kid is not the owner of the device in most cases, nor the owner of the activation of whatever they're doing on the phone. So I tell parents, you have every right to know what's going on a device that you pay for. But if you do it in an attacking, judgmental way, you're going to get them shutting down or creating fake accounts and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with video games. I tell parents, play the video game with your kid. You might think it's the stupidest thing in the world, but it draws your kid for some reason. So learn about it. Ask questions about it. Why'd you go down that road instead of this road? Why are you killing this person instead of this? You know, and play it with them for a while. And then log off and thank them for their time and be done. And then have a schedule when they know that they need to sign off.
Right, right. I have heard from other people that one of the reasons, especially video games, might be an issue is because kids are looking for some kind of control in their life. And in the video games, they have that control. Is that something you would agree with?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, you know, we have therapists on staff at camp, and I would say at least 30% of the kids, if not more, will eventually open up to one of our therapists about some sort of trauma or abuse at home or in the past. And they use video games or social media or computers in general to escape, to have some control. And again, that's why we say that there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you can't live in that world. So, you know, that's why we provide the therapy. We'll do a family therapy session at the end of camp, and then we'll refer families to continue therapy after camp.
Okay. Did you see a spike in numbers during the COVID years? I mean, of people reaching out?
Yes. I mean, COVID did not do any favors. The only good thing that came from COVID is our therapy team ended up being telehealth therapists, you know, working from home. So that freed up their schedules to come work at camp because they can continue their professional practice online and still be present at camp. But the pandemic just, you know, it forced all these kids to be steady at home, and most of them didn't. And they played video games, and they got totally behind in their learning. You know, there's so much research being done about how bad their math scores are and how bad their reading scores are, not to mention the depression and anxiety that came with it. And then all the hours spent gaming, not to mention the money that gets spent. You know, we had a kid come to camp that I think spent $13,000 on credit cards. First his credit card that his parents gave him, then his mom's credit card, then his grandmother's credit card, and finally his best friend's mom's credit card, all buying skins in Fortnite, which are a skin is how your character looks. So you can have them look like a football player. You can have them look like a medieval warrior, you know, and each skin is between 29 and 69 bucks. And it was exciting to buy that day, and you can't return it. And now this kid has, you know, thousands of dollars worth of wardrobe in a game that he might not even be playing anymore.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that.
We also have a class at camp called What's Your Financial Footprint? And we share it on the online course, too. And we take kids through, you know, what does it cost to be you for a month? Uh-huh. And we get into how many streaming services do you, you know, subscribe to? How many times you go to Starbucks? What does gas cost in your area? What do you think rent's going to cost when you move out of the house? You know, and we go through, you know, every conceivable cost. And it usually ends up about $5,000. And I'll say, so who's going to pay for that when you move out of the house? How is what you're currently doing going to cover that bill when you move out? Because I'll ask kids, you know, how many of you want to live with your parents when you're 25? And nobody raises their hands. And I'll ask parents groups the same thing. How many of you want your kids to still be living with you when they're 25? Nobody raises their hands. And I'll say, you are on track for just that. Unless you grab a hold of this situation, identify that it's a family dynamic issue, and own taking care of the problem.
Family is really the answer. It's the first group, it's the first community, or that then every other part of our society is built on. And if we let that fall apart, it just kind of everything topples. And I totally agree. We've got to get that taken care of. A lot of times when I'm talking to homeschoolers that want to start homeschooling but aren't sure if they can, some of the times is because, you know, I need to get my kid out of the house because when he's home, all he's doing is playing games. So if he's home all the time, how am I going to take care of that? And it's like, well, that's a discipline issue. And that's your first lesson. It might take you a day, might take you a week, might take you a month, but that should be your first focus.
Yeah.
Is getting that down first and then going forward. But I will definitely be sending them to your website for, well, first of all, definitely for the parent class. I think that's awesome, a great first start. And then if they continue to have problems for your camp. Now, when is your camp during the summer?
It's usually in the month of July. So I think this summer we start on July 7th in Santa Barbara. And I think the Canadian program starts a week after that. And it goes for 4 full weeks. So, okay. You know, if kids, you know, have cell phones, then we collect them when they check in. But like I said, most of our kids are more computer-based than cell phone-based. And it's a 4-week intensive residential program. And it's so funny because I get parents ask me all the time, you know, is your program guaranteed? And I always laugh and I'll say, absolutely not. I can guarantee to detox your kid because your kid will be with me for 4 weeks without a device. That's the easy part. The challenge will be when I send them home to where the problem originated. So are you going to do your part? We communicate with parents, you know, several times a week during the 4 weeks. We encourage them to take a tech-free weekend because your kid's with us taking a tech-free month. Most of them can't do it. We will encourage them to change the home environment, get the technology out of the bedroom. And then we close the program with a family workshop weekend where the parents come in on Friday and stay till Sunday. Participate in some of the camp activities with their kid, participate in a family therapy session, and then we'll follow up for 8 weeks after the kid goes home, just to make sure everybody's staying the course of the program that we put in place.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like you give them a lot of support, and if the parents take the steps they need to, then guaranteed.
I mean, we've had great success from parents who, you know, the light bulb finally comes on and they realize they need to actively participate with the whole family, not just the kid with the problem. Yeah. You know, and we talk about sleep more than anything, which has nothing to do with digital distractions. It has to do with mental health. And if you're not getting enough sleep, the whole family, not just the kid, then you can't be a good student, can't be a good member of the family, can't be a good employee, can't be good at anything without enough sleep. We actually encourage parents in the online course to sit down at a family dinner, which they should be having anyway, say on a Wednesday, and actually start the conversation by apologizing to their kids and saying they didn't realize how much sleep deprivation is a mental health challenge. So starting on Sunday, give them a couple days warning, we're going to turn off all the devices in the house at 9 p.m. And I recommend parents collect them, put them on a power strip charger in their master bedroom. Some parents go as far as putting it in the master bedroom closet with a padlock on it. But take the power cord to the computer, take the power cord to the Wi-Fi, just disconnect your house at 9 p.m. So melatonin can naturally occur in the brain and you're ready for sleep by 10 p.m. And then you're up at 6 a.m. That's 8 hours of sleep. And then you get your phone back and you go to school. But, you know, without a good sleep pattern, and then we go into nutrition, you know, get the junk food out of the house, then without that foundation, you can't really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting to me that it's just the basics, good sleep, good food. And, you know, that is the foundation.
Parents have taken the easy route and it doesn't work. And yeah. At the beginning, you said, you know, we're just starting to realize, I think parents are starting to realize that just because they're quiet, you know, and they're up till 3 a.m, that's a problem. Just because, yeah. You know, you're not having a family dinner anyway, so who cares that they're eating Doritos and Gatorade? That's a problem. So parents need to re-engage in being parents to end up with healthy, upward standing, mobile citizens of their children who can move out after high school and become, you know, successful adults.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the points that you've given us. I think you have given us today some really good ideas. I mean, the sleep, the nutrition, you know, and one of the biggest things that I love is that you're asking us to communicate better with our kids and even play with our kids, you know, and interact with them with the social media, you know, look at their social media, play the games, and also be the example, which is so often it's, you know, you not try and do it. Yeah. Yeah. It's so often not the case. You know, it's like, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And that's not how kids learn. They will just do what you do. And they understand that to be the truth rather than what you say. So, yeah. Well, Michael, I am just so grateful you were here today to share all of this wisdom with us. And I'm really excited to be able to share what you do with other people because I feel it is so important and I will be referring you. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We're happy to help.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Realizing Genius podcast. Head over to realizinggenius.com/podcast for all the show notes and links, and to share your ideas of anyone you would like to have me interview. Have a wonderful week realizing your genius.